weeks ago, Sunday night, I preached the subject on how to wise up to Satan. And this morning, I'm going to preach a very similar subject about the devil, how to defeat him. And we see in Ephesians chapter 6, we know the passage real well. And I'll just read several verses here, and I'll be moving to a few other scriptures along the way. But we just need to understand that we have an enemy, church. You know, and he's going to do everything. He knows that if you're saved this morning, sold to hell. Okay, once you're saved, you know what? You're going to heaven. Nothing changes that. You're placed in the palm of Jesus' hand. Excuse me. Nobody can pluck you out of his hand. You're saved. But you know what? He's going to do everything he can to try to make your journey, your race of life, miserable. And but sometimes I think, and I started the message off a couple of Sunday nights with this similar statement, but I sometimes think that we're kind of naive to the devil. You know, I sometimes think we don't really understand the enormity of him. I mean, the different avenues that he uses. We see here in this passage, he's the prince and the power of the air. I mean, he uses, you know, he can use, you know, and I'm not against technology. It ought to be used for right, not wrong. I get it. But he can use the television screen and the computer screen and iPads and iPods, everything else that we have around us, and he can use that for bad. And sometimes I think if we're not careful, we could go ahead and look at that show. It's not that bad. It's not that big a deal. But really, it could be a big deal. It probably is a big deal. You know, you go on that website, it's not that big a deal. It probably is a big deal. You turn on your iPod and you listen to whatever, iTunes. You know, again, I'm so technology slow, I guess you could say. I wanted to make sure I get the right word, but I don't know all the techno speech and so forth. You kids, you get it, you'll understand it. But, you know, but we need to be careful. We need to understand, you young people, I want you young people this morning up here, I want you to hear this message, but you young people, you need to understand there is an enemy called the devil. Bible says that he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's as a roaring lion. But we all need to understand that. But we have the tools necessary. Every single one of us, under the sound of my voice, we have the tools that are necessary to go ahead and defeat Satan. Let me just preface my message, this verse in James chapter 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Well, you submit yourself to God. I mean, every single day, you need to humble yourselves before God. You know, stop, you know, you start getting prideful and so on. I, me, my, mine, you know, I can do that. You know, no, every single one of us, every single day, we need to humble ourselves before God. You know what? And when you do that, God will give you the grace, he'll give you the strength, whatever, to resist the devil. Say no to that word resist. Just simply says, when the devil pokes at you and picks at you, that simply means say no. No, devil, this way. You know, get thee behind me, Satan, okay? And resist the devil, and he will flee. Eventually, you know, as you submit, and you keep saying no, eventually he's going to move away. You know, he'll go after an easier target. But you be a hard target. All the tools necessary to go ahead and make it. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God. And again, and very... I go ahead and I'll read several verses here. We'll read responsively on down through 17. I'll read and then you read from Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for loving goodness to us, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, you speak through me. I pray you'd help me say exactly what you want said. Cast aside anything you don't want said. Lord, help your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Just notice a few verses, then I'm just going to go ahead and give you five or six things on how you can defeat Satan. He doesn't have to have rule over you. He does not have to win, my friend, this morning. But finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Do you understand how strong God is? I mean, you know, my words will fail me, but he is all-powerful, omnipotent. He's all-powerful. The Bible says in Matthew 28, 18, I think verse number 18, I think I got it right this time. All power is given unto me. Okay, all power. Every single bit of power that there is given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus is living inside you, you have access to that power. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then he tells us how, okay, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor. The key thing is put on the whole armor. Don't get lax. Don't get loose with it. Just put on the whole armor of God every single day. Because surely the moment that you go ahead and don't put on a piece of armor or don't ready yourself for the day, the devil's going to look at that little crevice or that little nook and so forth, say, you know what? He was a little bit lax. She was a little bit lax. And he'll go ahead and take that dart and he'll aim it right where you're not covered, if you will. Okay, so put on the whole armor of God. You got to make sure you put on the whole armor of God that she may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then again, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Two times here in this passage, the whole armor. Take unto you. Take it all on. Put it all on. Okay, don't get lazy, just put it all on, okay? And let me just tell you something, if you're going to live an effective Christian life, it's not for the lazy, amen? I mean, again, you're saved, and that was the easy part, but if you're going to be a warrior for God and be a soldier for Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, to be a good soldier, you got to endure hardness. And if you're going to go ahead and be an effective soldier, you know, and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, it's not for the lazy. Okay, you need to make sure you put on the whole armor of God that she may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. By the way, the evil day will come. Right now, it's nice when you're floating along on the mountaintop and things are going great. That's nice, but can I just stop and say this? I'm going to discourage you for just a second, okay? But you know what? The evil day is going to come. You know, that tough trial is going to come. The problem is going to come. Again, right now the bills are paid. Right now the car runs great. Right now this is going good. Everything's, the wife's happy. The kids are happy. The husband's happy. The dog is happy. And maybe the cat's happy too. I don't know. But you know what? Everything may be good and fine right now. How can you make a cat happy? I don't know. But anyways, I don't have one. Thank God. If you do, praise the Lord. I'm glad you do. And enjoy the kitty cats. I got off on a rabbit trail. But listen to me. It's going to come. Okay, you're going to have it. It's good. You know, it doesn't. None of us are exempt from it. Okay, and then stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's the word of God. Okay, that's the word of God. You need to get into the truth. Be careful of you know, people out there, you know, and all the different dogs. You be careful what you of the televangelists. Amen. You be careful of that. Now, if they're not preaching the Bible, you know, it's not truth. Okay, and you need to go ahead and get into the truth of the Word of God and being girded with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the Word of God. And so, you know what? We have all the tools necessary to go ahead and defeat Satan. You know what? But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to go ahead and trust in the power of Jesus Christ. You need to submit yourselves to God and resist the devil. Say no to him. So how can we go ahead and defeat Satan? Well, you got to, first of all, it involves the mind. You got to think right. You got to think the right thoughts. The Bible says over in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, the scripture says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The Bible also says that over chapter 2, Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You know, we need to be developing the mind of Christ. No, we'll never be like Christ this side of heaven, okay? But we ought to be closer to Christ today than we were yesterday. We ought to be growing in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You ought to be a stronger Christian today than you were last week. Amen. You know, and I fear that, I fear some of us, you know, and I said it this morning in Sunday school up here and so forth, you know, I fear that maybe the first time that most of us, okay, and I'm not, I don't know who it is, but I fear that that maybe the first time most of us opened the Bible today was for church. And let me just stop and say this, we will never see revival in this land with that kind of Christianity. You know what? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're never going to see a revival. We're never going to great things from God with that kind of Christianity. We're getting lax, if you will, putting on less armor, not putting it on tight, if you will. And we wonder why we're defeated. We wonder why the old devil goes ahead and takes us down. We wonder why, simply because we've not gone ahead and gird ourselves with truth. We've not got into the Word of God, study to show thyself approved unto God, the Bible says. Well, you know, every single one, yes, you come to church, you come with an open heart, and ask, go ahead and give you something from the Word of God. Ask God and pray for your preacher to go ahead and give you something from the Word of God. Trust that you do, but somewhere along the way, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you've got to get into the book as well. Sunday morning, before church, you should have been in the book, amen. You know, Wednesday, you know, we have Wednesday prayer meeting, forth, but you better have been in the book. What I'm trying to say, you know, you need to get in the Word of God for you. But you know, it was so lax with the precious, inspired, preserved Word of God. We have it. You know, the only thing perfect that we have this side of heaven is this book right here, the King James. We have it right here. You know, it's perfect. You know, forever, though, oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We have the Word of God. But how much do we use it? And we wonder why. Why is it that we're defeated? We wonder why. We're discouraged all the time, or depressed and so forth. You know, you need to get into the Word of God, and the Word of God will encourage you. The Word of God will help you. The Word of God will give you the strength that you need. You know, but if you're going to go ahead and defeat Satan, you got to think the right thoughts. You got to go ahead and think on these things, as the Bible says. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Well, I think as Christ was walking this earth, he had some tough times. Sure he did. You know, people misunderstood him and so forth, but you know, but he had his mind on right things. You know, the Bible says that, you know, he didn't turn away from the cross once he understood what his purpose in life was. And I believe it was 12 years old in the temple, if you will. God went ahead and did some business with his son, and he went about his father's business, if you read there in Luke chapter 2, very end there. And, you know, I believe it was then that he understood, you know, I'm a unique individual. I'm a unique child, if you will. I'm going to be a unique man. God said, you're going to start a ministry at 30 years old, and at 33, you're going to go to a cross. You know, and I'm sure it might have been overwhelming for Jesus at times, because he felt pain like you and I did. He was the God-man, if you will, okay? At that time and so forth as he walked this earth. But I wonder during them last 3 years, and when he knew that the time was getting closer for the cross, man, I would just wonder, man. You know, in the garden, he even said, Lord, if this cup could pass by me, but if not, thy will be done. You know what? Trials can go ahead and mess with your mind if you let it. You know, and you got to be very careful, and you've got to go ahead and think the right thoughts. You got to think on these things, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. You know, sometimes we're always dwelling on all the bad. You know, you go ahead and you watch Fox News or whatever you watch for news long enough, you can get discouraged pretty quickly. You know, you get discouraged, well, Israel's in trouble, this is happening, you know, the economy, and president of this, or the vice president of this, or whatever the case may be, go ahead and look at all the turmoil and whatever. And if you allow it to, you can let it just to discourage you. But somewhere along the way, you need to think on some good things. You know what? You think on God. He is good. Amen. You think about how good God is, and his mercy and his grace and all that he's given to you. You know, let me just stop and say this, child. We've got it good. We've got it real good. And I know that maybe some of you got some bills on your table, and I know I've alluded to this a few different times this morning, but you've got some bills on the table. You've had some serious things maybe happen to you the last week and so forth. But let me tell you something. That doesn't go. These bad things don't have to destroy you. You've got to understand, if you're saved, you know what? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door. Lord, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. One of these days, we're going to be gone from this earth. One of these days, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus forever. No more bills. No more wheelchairs, amen. No more deafness. No more blindness. No more pain. No more cancer. Trials. Hey, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus forever one day. And boy, you know what? Let me just stop and say this. You don't need to take all the circumstances. And I'm not positive thinker. Don't misunderstand me. But you know what? If you just dwell on God and realize how good he is, you know what? Eventually, you know, some of these things that are in your life, they'll be minimal. You know, some of these bills, you know, and I get it, we have bills, that's part of life. We have a health issue, that's part of life. But if you just dwell on God, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will, Psalm 91, I got to turn to it. That's my mom's favorite psalm, but I just a thought here, and I got to turn to it, so I'm going to read just a little bit here. But Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God will I trust. You know, you need to just trust him. You know, stop allowing your mind to get so distracted and wander and so forth. And you just need to trust him. Think on these things. Think on good reports, if you will. Know that everything, you know what, with God, everything's going to be all right. You know, everything's going to be okay. Everything, you know, I was at this conference, and, you know, it's amazing the divine appointments that come your way. And not really that I chatted with these individuals, but I was thinking of a young lady. I think almost every night of the daughter, almost every night of the conference, she sat two rows ahead of us. Her name's Mackenzie. 22, maybe 23 years old. Has lymphoma. Cancer. Serious. Bottom line. And my wife, of course, being a cancer patient, she picked up on it right away that she could tell she had a wig and but, you know, if I may say, in all appropriateness, a very attractive young lady, her future ahead of her. A little feeding tube going from her ear or whatever down to here is a tube of some sort and had a little pink little flower attached to it to beautify it, I guess you could say. And to see her and she's a pastor's daughter and her mom and her younger sister and her younger brother, I think, and Mackenzie was asked to sing a special song. They get up, and you can see Mackenzie, she was kind of limping a little bit. She had to walk very slowly. And the day that she sang this song, it was probably the day before, I think, she had her first round of chemo. I remember when my wife took chemo. I know that everybody handles a little bit different. You know, she was wiped out a little bit for a day or so after. I think it was that Tuesday night, I believe, Mackenzie and her family get up and sang. She sang, and she had to walk very slowly. Her brother helped her over to the piano, and you could see when the preachers were preaching, when she was singing, and it's okay to raise it, she was raising her hands. You know what? And let me just stop and say this. Cancer, you know, she doesn't know how many years she has. She doesn't know what kind of time she has. Her mind could be very distracted. And it did my heart good to sit there. You know, probably one of the things that ministered to me when the preaching was going on and when the music was going on, she was raising her hands and she was singing out to Jesus. You know, she had her mind on right things. You know, sometimes we just go ahead and look at everything. If you're going to go ahead and the devil will use your mind to try to defeat you. You know, I don't know about you. If I was going through that, I don't know about you, if I was going through that, I'd go ahead and my mind would just start wandering. God, you know, I'm going to leave my family, this and that, whatever. What's going to happen? I mean, I don't know how I'd handle it. I hope I would be able to handle it like this. I know my wife did. But you know what, sometimes the things that come in our way, you know, when you just got to allow God to take it and allow God to go ahead and ease your mind, and you need to just go ahead and think on the right thoughts. She sat in church praising the Lord when she could have done what maybe some of us are doing right now. Our minds wandering about what we're going to have for lunch. You know what, and the devil likes that. He likes it when we're out of tune with God. He likes it when we're not paying attention to the preaching and the preacher. We don't show up for like that, and our mind is so distracted. I'll give this illustration on Thursday night. Sweet lady sat right next to us at the end of the pew. She, I believe, according to my wife, she was there every night. She has five children. All of them from, I'm going to say, 9 or 10 years old and under. Beautiful family. I have a track here about her situation and so forth, just a few of them, and I haven't read it yet, so if you ask me for it, I can't give it to you because I still got to read it, but I know enough about her story. Just a few years back, a freak accident, her husband, was out on a motorcycle. I don't know every detail, but was out on a motorcycle. And to make a long story short, he was killed. Beautiful family. Young kids. The two kids that happened to be in the session when we were there, just cute little kids, and they were young, probably 3, 4, maybe 5 years old. I couldn't help when I found out a little bit, because my wife just kind of ministered to her right away, just said, you know, I'll help you with your kids and so forth, or in service, whatever, and just trying to help the lady. Didn't know anything about anything until kind of during break time, the lady just said, you know, I just lost my husband a year or so ago. And, you know, and she told me that, and boy, the rest of the service, I couldn't help but keep her in the corner of my eye over there just praising God. I don't know about you, if I lost my wife, I lost my spouse, boy, I don't know where my mind would be. God, it's not fair. God, it's not right. But here I saw this lady, and she probably 40 years old, not even that. Her children all dressed, ready to go to church, and every single night was there. That ministered to my heart. Okay, you know, but if you're going to defeat Satan, you know, and she could have let her circumstances, Mackenzie, the cancer lady, that young lady, could have let her circumstances go ahead and defeat her. But she said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I'm going to think on the right things. You know, church, if you're going to go ahead and make it, if you're going to go ahead and keep the devil kicked aside and so forth, you got to go ahead and you got to think right thoughts. He'll go ahead and try to steer your thoughts to wrong, to negatives, to criticism, to blaming God and so forth. You got to think. It involves the mind. Hey, how are you going to defeat the old devil? You got to see the right sights. It involves your eyes. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, we know the passage real well, but Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what? We got to look at the right things. You know, let me just stop and say this. Jesus is the right sight. You know, Jesus is the right sight. You got to keep him in focus. You got to keep him in view. You know, many of us, we look at the negatives of the situation. We look at everything as bad. You know, this isn't right. And the devil causes you to want to look at all the negatives of this world. Look at what's happening in the Middle East and this and that. Everything is just bad. Why should I serve God? Why should I keep going? And you know what? And the devil loves that kind of attitude. He loves it when you criticize. He loves it when you're negative. He loves it when you just go ahead and you stop looking at Jesus, and you're running your race. And this passage talks about the race and running it with patience and enduring and so forth. And you know, but anything, he'd love to go ahead and get your eyes off Jesus, which ultimately will lead you to the finish line, and just get it on something else. You know, if you're going to defeat the old devil, you got to go ahead and control your sight. You got to look at the right things. And my friend, Jesus is the right sight. The Bible says, and I taught on it this morning, but I've got to turn to this particular psalm again and just go ahead and read the psalm that I taught on this morning, Psalms 121. The Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You know what you got to do? You got to look at the right sight. You got to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, if you're going to go ahead and defeat the old devil. You know what? The psalmist, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the booze? No. The drugs? No. The immorality? No. My help, the Bible says, my help cometh from the Lord. Church, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Boy, the devil would love to go ahead and get your sights looking at everything else but Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're defeated and you're just frustrated. Let me ask you a question. What are you looking at? Now, I'm not saying that you're necessarily looking at anything bad, but if you are, you ought to get that right and get cleaned up, clean up your act and move on for God. But what are you looking at other than Jesus? What is distracting? What's taking you off the race that God has called your eyes off from the race that God has called you to run? You know, what steered you away from the will of God? Listen, my will is not my will, but you know, God has a specific will and he has a specific plan for you. And if you're going to fulfill that plan, you know what? You're going to go ahead and stay tapped into the Lord. You got to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Has there been something that's knocked you out of the will of God? Are you looking at maybe a girlfriend more than you are Jesus? Are you looking at a boyfriend more than you are Jesus? Are you looking at the pleasures, so to speak, of this world more than you are Jesus? Are you looking at, man, you know, I could work the extra hours and, you know, it'll cut into church time or whatever, but you know what? Are you looking at money more than you are Jesus? What are you looking at this morning that's distracting you? You know what? And the old devil boy, you know, he'd love to go ahead and see you have a love for money. It's a root of all evil, the Bible says. He'd love to go ahead and have your eye on anyone else or something else way more than Jesus. And you keep your eyes off Jesus long enough, you know what? He'll get you right where you are. Oh, we got so many distractions today. Sometimes I get crucified when I name distractions. It's sometimes true. We allow events, we allow things that necessarily aren't bad get ahead of God. Sports. Come on now. Whatever else. You know, I love sports. I want the Red Sox to win. They're probably not going to this year. Okay? Boston fans. And all through and through. I like to sit down and watch a sports game. Don't misunderstand me, but sometimes, oftentimes, even good people, we get wrapped up with money and sports and whatever else that we've got our eyes off Jesus. Become distracted. Let me just stop and say this. I start naming sins. Lord, I sometimes get by it, whatever. It's fine. My job is to preach the truth to you because I love you. But sometimes we get so distracted by all this stuff. And don't you think for a moment that Satan, he's sitting back and said, I'm loved. Yeah. You know, I got him, his eyes off the Lord. You know, he or she was serving the Lord. He and she was doing this. But you know what? Things got in the way. Yes. I don't know about you. I don't want the devil to win. I don't want the devil to have his way in me. And he tries and he'll grab a stronghold, but what you got to do is you got to submit yourselves to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. You just say no to the devil. But you know what? What are your eyes set on this morning? Are they set on Christ? Are they fixed on Christ? Are they distracted looking at everything else and maybe as a result you've veered off the will of God? Maybe you're not the Christian that you know you ought to be because your sights are somewhere else. Maybe you're not who you know that you ought to be, and God has been dealing with your heart, but you keep pushing him aside and say, no, I'll do that later, God. But and God says, I want you to do it now, but you're too busy. And eventually it'll wind up in defeat. You know how you're going to go ahead and defeat him? You've got to keep your eyes right. You got to keep your eyes focused. Keep your eyes on Jesus. How are you going to go ahead and beat the old devil? You got to listen to the right sounds. It involves the ears. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We hear so much stuff. Again, I'm not against Fox News, but you can hear all the news. And sometimes you watch Fox News long enough, you realize they tell the same story about every hour. Eventually it gets old, you know, eventually it does. Like, well, they just shoot it at a different angle or whatever. I got the story. I get it, Megan, whatever. But you know what I'm talking about anyways. But, you know, I get it. But you know what? We need to be listening to the right sounds. We've got so many sounds that distract us. TV, music, traffic, conversations. You know what, Christian? You know what we need to do? We need to listen to the voice of God. You know, and I say it sometimes it may seem so cliche, but you've got to sometimes just shut everything down. Shut everything down. Shut it out. and listen to the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside of you. And you know what you need to do? Shut the noise down and just, God, I'm listening. God, I'm listening. All right, you got my attention. Maybe you've been looking at things, and maybe you've been going different directions. Maybe you've been not thinking right, and whatever the case may be, and you've wandered off a little bit, and you know, God is getting your attention, and you know, somewhere along the way, you got to shut everything down and say, God, okay, you got my attention. God, I'm listening. When the Holy Spirit's, you know, speaking, hey, you know what, church? Listen. Listen. He says, Sean, I don't want you to go that way. Okay. But God, no buts. No. Sean, I want you to go this way. No, don't. Just go this way. Okay, God. You know what? When the Holy Spirit, you shut everything down, you listen. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide? He's there to comfort. He's there to convict. He's there to guide you and whatever. He'll guide you into all truth. The Bible says he's not going to steer you wrong. When you go ahead and you just shut everything down, you listen. Okay, God. You know the only response you ought to give back to him? Yes. Okay. Okay, I'll give that up. Yes. Okay, yes. I'll go that direction. I'll go there. I'll do that. That's what we should be doing to the Lord. Not today, Lord. Sometimes I think that's where our Christianity is. Not today, no. I used to do that. No, but Sean, I want you to go back to doing that. But time, no. You have time for everything else, Sean. Yep, okay, yep, you're right, yes. Spooky about the Holy Spirit, by the way. If you're saved, he moved inside you. And he wants to do a work in your life. And when he's saying don't, do whatever, you need to listen, submit, do what he says, and don't rebel. You know, listen to the right things. Zoom in on the right things. Look at the right things. Think the right things. Let's move on. Let's move on. Number four, say the right words. Talks about your voice. The Bible says in Matthew 12, verse number 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know what you put in your heart, ultimately you're going to say? I mean, what you're pumping into your heart and whatever, you know what, that kind of talk, okay, if it's a word of God and so forth, then let me just stop and say this. Your talk will be godly. Amen. But if you're pumping in junk and all this stuff and whatever, you know, is it any wonder why you might be a little crude in your language? Is it any wonder why you may say things that, man, I probably should. There any wonder why, you know, as even as a Christian, there might be a form of rudeness simply because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You hang around, you know, listen, you generally become that who you hang around. I mean, you hang around the crowd that, you know what, maybe they just live on the edge and so forth and, you know, they're saved, but they just aren't really in. But, you know, they kind of listen to this music, and they do this, and they do this, and they might watch that, and it's not a big deal to watch that movie, whatever. And you know what? Eventually, you become that. But you hang around somebody, that loves you, you're going to see church, you're going to see them serving, and boy, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, not an option to them. Boy, they're there. You know what? And you know, and just tell by their demeanor, you can just tell by their spirit, you know, they walk with God. You know, man, you know, I get around some of the, boy, you can just tell when you walk are with certain people, man, they're walking with, oh, they met with God this morning. You know, and we ought to be that way. We ought to have a godly, contagious spirit. You know, and people ought to be able to tell, man, you're godly and you love the Lord, you know, but you become that who you ultimately hang with. Run with. What I'm saying this morning, what I'm saying is you need to go ahead and listen to the right words. You know, the Bible says the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity in James chapter 3, verse number 6, the first part of that verse. You know, be careful what you say. Be careful of the unkind words. Be careful of the critical words. Do you know your words can determine whether someone comes back to church or not? You know, I hope, and I pray, I know we got visitors here this morning, but I hope and I pray that when people walk in here, there's a good spirit in this place. I hope so. I fight for it. I try. I will struggle. I want to have a good spirit. I like the spirit set on high and so forth. And I hope and I pray that when people leave, you know, whether they stay or not stay or whatever, you know what? It's a friendly place. But you know what? Some people, you know, do things determined by words. You know, if you're unkind and got a chip on your shoulder and you're in your little clique, you know, you kind of gather a bunch of people together and you're over in your corner and so forth, and you're just too good to talk to anybody else. What are you doing talking to me, Mr. Bus Kid? You know what? Doesn't matter our status, we ought to go ahead and help that bus kid and speak to him. You know, let's be careful of this. I'm better than that. You know what that is? Pride. You know, you live that way long enough, the scripture says, the Bible says, you will be brought low. Pride does go before a fall, the Bible says. You know, but listen to me. You know what? Say the right things. Encourage one another. Love one another. You know, speak kindness. Well, I don't always agree with that person, so put your disagreement aside and go shake hands and love on them while you're at church. And even outside of church, you can still go ahead and love on them and pray for them. It's amazing sometimes, you know, getting church situations and so forth, and you know, and it shouldn't be this way. But I'm just teaching you a little bit of how to be a church. I was a church member before I was a pastor, okay? And, you know, I noticed this stuff even before I was a pastor, but, you know, oh, so-and-so is here, and they'll come in, and they'll walk to the furthest point of the auditorium to go ahead and get their seat because so-and-so is on that side. And during handshaking time, they'll go ahead and just stick to their part of the people or whatever, and they won't even go by. You know, listen to me, that is not even godlike. So there's a difference. If everybody thought like I did, it would probably be a chaotic world. I mean, if everybody just did things just the way I wanted it done, it'd probably be pretty chaotic. That's just not, it's not reality, folks. But, you know, we need to love one another, and we need to, you know, and even if you disagree or whatever, okay, when you leave, I'm talking about church membership now. When you leave, you know, still keep it to yourself. You don't need to get on Facebook and tell everybody, well, brother so-and-so and miss so-and-so is just this. No, don't do that. You know what? Love one another. This tongue can do, it can do one of two things, destroy or exhort. And we as a child of God, we ought to be in the ministry, if you will, of exhorting. Yeah, okay, I may not say with Blaine on everything, just the way we do things. But I can still love him. And honestly, I don't know if there's a difference. I honestly don't. I appreciate this man, one of my deacons, but you know what? But I can still love him. I can still love him. That's Christianity. Listen, say the right things. Do the right things that involves your hands and every good work to do his will. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:21. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Give it all you got. You know, you can defeat Satan by meaningful action. You know, if you just go ahead and use your hands for good and godly and for right and so forth, and do good to others with your hands. You know what? Maybe you know somebody that maybe a shed's falling down or they need some painting or whatever, and you've got that ability. Go use your hands. You know what? Your hands can speak a lot about love. Your words can say, I love you. Your hands, so to speak, can, in a way, can say, I love you. You know what? Hey, brother, you know, I know you need some help. Can I help you with a little bit of, you know, a $20 bill or some groceries or a paint job here, whatever the case may be. You know what? Do the right things, and it does involve your hands. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do with thy might. You know, God's maybe giving you a Sunday school class. You ought not be lax and lazy in your Sunday school class. You know, give it all you got. You know, give it all you got. You know, love on them kids. Think about them kids throughout the week. Pray for them. Think about, you know, you think about some of the students that you have in your class. You know what? You can be real thankful real quick. Well, I thank God that I had maybe don't have that particular home or that particular lifestyle. You know what? In Sunday school teacher, boy, give your Sunday school class all that you have. You know, but if you're lax and whatever, you know, the devil likes it. He sits here, yeah, he or she's not giving it all. They're all for Jesus and so forth. Before long, you know, you're going to be defeated. You know, the devil's going to go ahead and take hold and he's going to defeat you. Go to the right places. I'm almost done. We're doing fine. Go to the right. Yeah, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, Psalm 122:1. But many are always on the move. They're always after pursuits or even selfish pursuits and pleasures. But you know what, child of God, Christian church, we should be just going for God. You ought to go for God. Whatever you do, you know what, just go for God. Does God want you in church? Yes. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Does God want you to go soul winning? Yes. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Be a witness. Give a helping hand. You know what? You know, the Bible says, you know, our feet, you know, are shod. You know, if you go back to Ephesians there, you know, in verse number 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, you need to go for God. Use your feet. This talking about using your feet. Use your feet for the Lord. Go soul winning. Go out and tell people about Jesus. The Bible says over in Isaiah chapter 52, I think it is, God calls your feet beautiful, those that go publish glad tidings. I don't know about you, but feet aren't very beautiful. But God says your feet are beautiful when you go tell somebody about Jesus. You know what? We need to go for God. You know, our time is short. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back, but I believe he's going to come back very soon. Our time is short. We need to be busy, church. Listen to me, busy more than ever. We might need to refocus and reprioritize our life a little bit. Say, you know what? I need to do all I can for God now. I need to get a handful of tracts, and I need to get the gospel out there now. I need to get my family, I need to get my children in church and make sure that I'm there and be involved. I need to do it now because let me tell you something, one of these days, it's going to be too late. You know, give your feet to the Lord. Go the right places and then belong to the right person. It involves the heart. Jesus said, I have chosen you. You know what? You can defeat Satan by giving God first place in your life. By the way, he deserves it. God deserves number one. The Bible says in Colossians, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. God deserves your heart. He deserves your all. He deserves every fiber of your being. He deserves every single part of you. And you know what? When you keep God, as we talked about earlier, looking unto Jesus, you keep him first and foremost, you know what? You're going to defeat the old devil. And by the way, God, as I've said before, he's given every tool necessary for us to defeat him. Maybe you know you belong to him. You're saved. Somebody under the sound of your lax. Maybe you've got a little bit lazy. Quiet now, look right up here. I'm almost done. You're doing real good. But maybe you've gotten lazy. I used to, and God says, I want you to now. I used to go here or do this or go so whatever, on and on and on. The Holy Spirit of God says, come on now. I want you. Do this because it's right and it is obedient. Stop setting your affection on the things of this earth. You know what we have? What we have materially is all going to go, pass. Only what is done for Christ, as the song says, will last. That little precious boy and girl, you think of the 50 souls that we saw saved in DBS just a couple weeks ago. We're going to see them in heaven. You know what? Thank God for the soul winners that went ahead and led them precious young people and adults and teenagers to Christ. You know what? You know, we're going to see them in heaven, but you know what? All the other frivolous things that we do here on earth, the affections that we think are so important down here on earth, you know what? You're not going to take it with you. I need this. Okay, maybe if God wants you to have it, he'll go ahead and supply your need and give it to you, but Don't get frustrated if he doesn't give it to you. But I need it, I need it, I need it, I need it, I just need this. Do you really? You're not going to take it, we'll take that car or that house or this or whatever. And again, I'm not against all that stuff. Don't misunderstand. But only what's done for Christ. Set your affections on things above. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know what? You're going to defeat Satan. You've got to totally belong to him. I mean, just give him your heart. Give him your all, Christian. But I ask you this question in closing. But do you belong to him? In other words, if you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Do you really belong to Jesus? But if you're here today, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I can't belong to him. I know I don't belong to him in the way that you say, simply because I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me, forgive me of all my sin. The Bible teaches us, church, the Bible teaches us that you can know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know today that you have eternal life. And if you're here today, you don't know for sure that you belong to the King, the one that, Jesus, if you will, that died on the cross, that paid for your sin. If you've never trusted him as personal Savior, well, I urge you today, why don't you leave here knowing I belong to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're trusting in all the things that you can attain, all the good things you can do and so forth, let me just stop and say this, you'll split hell wide open. But if you trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, that's what the Bible says. If you trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, he'll save you. And you can know 100% sure. You don't have to sit here and say, I think I'm going, I guess I'm going, perhaps I'm going. No, you can know that I'm going. You got to understand you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there's a price on sin. The wages of sin is death, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. But Jesus, he paid that price on that cross so that you could have eternal life. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all you have to do is simply open your heart and say, Lord, I don't belong to you. I know I don't. I ask you to come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart and save me. Take me to heaven when I die. I trust in you and you alone, God, to take me to heaven. And he promises in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. September 12th, 1996, I settled that. I was sitting at Hiles Aronson College, in Bible College of all places. Preacher got up and preached, are you going to go to hell from Hiles Aronson College? And boy, it was like the Holy Spirit. Boy, he just gave that title. It's like he just smote me. I said, Sean, you've been playing church long enough. And I went ahead and I knelt down. I went forward at the invitation along with many other men in that evening college chapel. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me and take me to heaven when I die. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, I urge you today, won't you allow today to be the day of salvation? Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your love and goodness to us, Lord. Maybe there's some Christian here this morning, God. I don't know the hearts. I don't know all that's going on in the hearts and minds of these dear people, your people today. But I'm sure in a crowd this size, there's probably some that are defeated. The old devil's got a strong hold on them. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven, but they've let their guard